Okay, great. This is exciting. We're starting in Ernest Mishnayos now. And we're going to go. So we're holding in the first parak, second Mishnah. You've probably heard it before. You've probably heard this parak before 1,000 times, but hopefully we'll at least have some ha'aras for you. Right. So at least the end of the parak, so the Pesach Seder, but so you got, it was not so. All right, let's see. So Mishnah Beis says, we're dealing with the case of last night we had Kriyat Shema at night, now Kriyat Shema in the morning. Now if you sit in front of me, you're much more likely to be able to hear me than behind me.
Sorry?
If you sit in front of me, you're much more likely to hear me than behind me. Or near me, whatever you want. Sit wherever you want. If you can't hear me, because... Okay. So now, Kriyat Shema in the morning. Here we go. We know the Pasuk says, Uveshach b'cha v'kumecha, uve'kumecha, and in your getting up. Okay, so it's, you say Kriyat Shema at get up time. Thank you so much. Okay, so the Mishnah says, "Me'imisai korin the Shema b'shachris." From when do we read the Shema? Do we say the Shema in the morning? Mishiyake ben tchelis l'lavan. So the Mishnah says it's from the time you can distinguish the difference between tchelis, that's like a blue color, and lavan, white. Okay, there's a Gemara Menachas that says Mem Gimel Amud Beis says that. It says Laman when it talks about the mitzvah tzitzis, so it says ur isam also uzichartem, and you'll remember. So Gemara Menachos says also what are you going to remember? You remember the mitzvah tully on tzitzis because your tzitzis have a blue thread. That's also the mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema in the morning. So the shir is from when it's there's two pshatim, but one pshat in the first pshat in the Rav is there's enough light by the sun, not by the moon, but natural sunlight, you could distinguish the difference in color between, in otherwise total darkness, the blue threads and the white threads in your tzitzis, okay? It's given to be about 50 minutes before sunrise, before nates. Now, some aforeshim say, even in pitch black, whatever that means, in minimal lights, you know, you could tell the difference in the light threads and the dark threads because, like, they're so obviously different. So they want to say the pshat is, and the Rav brings this as a second opinion, if you dyed wool, a techeles color, like maybe your tzitzis even, so invariably they're going to be like little white flecks that didn't get the, they weren't collect, weren't absorbing the dye properly. So you have to be able to pick out the difference between the white spots and the blue main part of the dyed wool. Okay, there are those who say like that. The pashas I think is like the former, but the Gemara gives a different shir you probably heard before, which is you're able to recognize your friend at a distance of four amos, but it says not too dark, not too light, not too freely, not too unfamiliar, but it gives it the same shear. Basically, that shear is the same as the shear of your tchelis tzitzis. So we're talking about 50 minutes. That's the time Kriyat Shema can start being said. Okay? And Rabbi Eliezer Omer ben tchelis lekarsi, he is more machmir. He says you need to have more light than the amount of light required to distinguish between blue and white. He says it has to be, you can tell the difference between blue and karsi. Karsi is leeks. Like the onion leek, it's a green color, and there are those who say pick that because like the blue sky versus the green grass, the green vegetation, you could see like that. But then in a case, it's obviously you need much more light to distinguish between blue and green. They're close together, so it means that the time to say Shema is closer to the dawn. That's the starting time. That's the earliest time. L'charchila. That's get up time. People get up when it starts getting light outside. The Gomra, and you have to finish saying Kriyat Shema at HaNetzachama. Tanakhama says you have to finish Kriyat Shema by the time Nates happens. Nates, the word Nates means like a spark, or like a, it's called a spark, or like on the Rimon, on a pomegranate, it has like that, it's called a spark. So it means when the spark of the sun, the top of the orb of the sun comes over the horizon, it's sparked over, now you see it, that's called Netzachama, the sparking forth of the sun. And that will be the end time to say Kriyat Shema. After that, you're not Yotz anymore because everyone is up normally. A normal person, most people get up by sunrise. That's like the halach is, of course, you should be Mo'orer, the Shach, get up before dawn even. So everyone's up by sunrise. And I think, by the way, even Bezman Hazeh, you see, even Arab workers today get up before sunrise because it gets hot. But in those days, of course, the day ended when it got dark. So everyone got up early in the morning because he didn't want to lose working hours. Now, you know, the Chazon Ish says with all these questions that I'm like, what's with today? So Chazon Ish says that all the societal norms and natural, scientific, medical norms that the halachas are based on has happened in the Alpaim Shel Torah. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Zayin, I think, says that there are 2,000 years of Tohu, of chaos. That's until basically Avram was 52. That's the year 2000. And 2,000 years of Torah, which basically works out to being right when the Mishnah came out. I remember told you yesterday, the Mishnah came out, I think, 3948 is the year 188, the Common Era. 30 years later published. So basically, at the year 4,000, the Mishnah's over, Mishnah's written. That's the end of the 2,000 years of Alpaim Shel Torah. And then there's 2,000 years of Mashiach, which we're in now. So the Chazon Ish says, what's Koveya, the norm, halachic norm, is what happened in the Alpaim Shel Torah. And in those days, they had no electric lights. So people got up early in the mornings. And La Halacha, the proper time, the ideal time, the preferential time, the proper time, say Shema, is indeed before Netzachama. That's the proper time. But for those of us who aren't there, so it says Rabbi Yeshua Omer, he was lenient. Rabbi Yeshua says Ad Shalosh Shaos. He says you have until the end of 3 hours. It's the end of the third hour, according to most. The Rav says, and most are like that. Meaning, like we said last night, you divide the night into halachic hours. The day too, divide into halachic hours. A familiar concept. There's a big machlokas Ad Hayom Hazeh. Exactly, what is the beginning and end of those 12 hours? So according to the Gra, Balatanya, the famous Shita, today goes from sunrise to sunset. Very easy. You take sunrise, take sunset, and divide it into 12 twelfths, and then you have the first quarter of that time period. That's the first 3 hours to say Shema. Magen Avram learns that it's you start counting from Alosa Shachar, first light, and end at Seis. So that's much bigger span. So the halachic hours of the Magen Avram are longer, but because it starts early in the morning, Magen Avraham usually comes out being more strict in terms of the cutoff time for saying Kriya Shema. That's the machlokas. So he says you have until the third hour to be sure. Why? Sheken derech b'nei malachim la'amad b'shalosh shaos. He says, you know, king's children, rich kids, you know, they don't have to work. They sleep in. And the drush, the without the Chassidish Torah for a second, the pashas is just to say, it says uvakumecha in your getting up. So even though normally the Torah goes off, it goes about what's normal. So just like we said, people normally go to bed at soon after sundown. That was Rabbi Eliezer's shita. But you know, people go to bed later and later at night also. So the norms in the morning are that, you know, most people get up early, but they're those people who get up later, and you can rely on those people. They're not so weird. They're not. They have a principle called butla daito. They're crazy. They don't count halachically, but it's not out of the human norm to get up after sunrise, even though it's uncommon. So Rabbi Yeshua says you can rely on those people, the rich kids, who sleep in, and you have till the third hour, because that's within the realm of normal human behavior. You can imagine all the Chassidish Torah about B'nai Malach, and that the Jewish people are considered and have the halachic status of being like children of kings, because we are the children of the king. Okay, fine. Akorah Mikan Ve'Elech. If you read Kriya Shema after that third hour is up, right? Lo hifsid, you don't lose. So everyone says, don't lose, but you lost your mitzvah. What does it mean you don't lose? So the pshat is, you don't lose the ability to say the brachas on Kriya Shema. Even though after the third hour has passed, you can't get the mitzvah of Kriya Shema anymore, but you can still say the birchas Kriya Shema, the brachas on the Kriya Shema. Normally, normal brachas, birchas, and mitzvahs. So what you do is you have to always say the bracha over litziyasam. You know, first you say a bracha, and then you do the mitzvah. Obviously, you can't, once you put on your tefillin, you can't then say a bracha on tefillin. It's too late. But really, the brachas of Kriya Shema aren't birchas and mitzvah. They're not really going on. They're not a shared kiddushan of mitzvah sav, it's ivano likros Kriya Shema. So they're really independent. They're birchas shvach, they're praises to Hashem about loving us and giving us Torah and creating the luminaries, etc. So because of that, really they're independent, and if you miss Kriya Shema, you can still say the brachas. That's lohifsid, you didn't lose. Now there's a big question in the poskim, until when do you have? The Rosh learns that you have until the end of the fourth hour, because it's part of Shachris. And Shachris, we'll see later on in the fourth parak, you only have to end of the fourth hour, l'charchila, if you didn't have a pressing circumstance. So the Rosh learns, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like him, you actually can say Birchas Kriya Shema past the third hour, but you shouldn't say it past the fourth hour, just like davening, unless you were an onus, which case you have till chatzos, just like normal tefillah. The Rambam learns, and the Perish Mishnah, he learns you have the whole day. They're independent, you have the whole day to say it. Like, if you missed a Shar Yatzar, you can say it the whole day if you need to. So it's another bracha. You can say it the whole day of the brachas of Kriya Shema. Okay? That's what Hifzid. Then it says, Ka'adam HaKorah B'Torah. If you say Kriya Shema past the time, you're like a person just reading the Torah. And that's not so bad, right? The Mefarshim say, like, well, what's the Chiddush there? What's the Chiddush? So sometimes the question is better than the answer. This may be one of those cases, but the answer given, an answer given, is that there's an isser generally of saying psukim bal peh. Not allowed to do that. You're not supposed to. You're not allowed to. Torah shebichtav has to be read inside. You can't say it by memory, and people say Kriya Shema bal peh. So here the chiddush is, the Mishnah telling you, when you say Kriya Shema bal peh, you're allowed to, since it's either the nusach of a tefillah or everyone knows it, so you're allowed to read it, and it's okay. It's as if you're reading inside the text. So that's the extra chiddush here. If there needs to be extra chiddush in those words, that is the extra chiddush in those words. Good? Okay. Mishnah Gimel. Now we're talking about how, physically, how you say Kriya Shema, the positioning of your body. So you see inside it says, Beshame Omrim, Be'erev, in the evening, Kol Adam Yatu V'yikru. You have to be, Yatu means like to lie down. Lie down. V'yikru, and to, literally means lie down. And Yikru, and say it. Uva Boker, and in the morning, Yamdu. You have to stand up to say Kriya Shema. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Uva Shachbacha, in your lying down, Uva Kumecha, and in your getting up, in your standing up. So he learns it literally. It's telling you, you have to say it, lying down and getting up. The Bar Tanura says, when it says, Uva Shachbacha, so he says that you shouldn't, Yatu, that's Al Tideyam, that's on your side. The reason why, there's a Gemara, Bracha stuff. Your Gimel, it says you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema like lying flat on your back. Actually, Machlokas Prokhtan if it's on your stomach or on your back. But either way, it's considered to be not. It's like an arrogant position to start lying. You don't say Kriya Shema like, you know. So that's not nice. So you should say, like, lay it on your side. And that's actually the halacha. When you say Kriya Shema Lamita, it's not right to say Kriya Shema Lamita with, like, your head on your pillow lying back. You should be on your side a little bit. All right. Or up, you shouldn't be lying down. Shouldn't be lying down flat. Up properly, or on like sitting up on your bed, or at least lying on your side. So he learns the pasuk literally. When it means what it says. When you get up, be up. When you lie down, be down. Obesil omrim. No, kol adam kore kadarko. Every person can say Kriya Shema however, whatever suits him. Kadarko, as is his way. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, uvelechta chavaderech. And in your going on the way, obviously, when you're going on the way, if you can say Kriya Shema, that means you're going. You're not standing, and you're not lying. You're doing whatever your thing is. So, two different pshatim here in the pesukim. So imkain, that's true. Lama nemar uveshach b'chav v'kumecha. The obvious question they shamel asked by Hillel is, if it means say it how you want, why did the pasuk say in your lying down and getting up? It could have said beishamel learn. It could have said be'erev uveboker, in the evening and the morning. That would be good enough. Why did it say Dafka lying down and getting up? Beis Shammai says must mean the posture. Beis Hillel say no. It's telling you the time. It says b'shah, just simply the time. B'shash b'nei adam shochvin. It's the time people lie down. U'b'shah, and then the time shebnei adam omnin. Time people get up. Beis Hillel are saying they reject Beis Shammai's theory. They say you can't say just simply erev and boker because erev implies the afternoon also, and that's you're not yotzi. And boker implies the whole morning, and you're not yotzi. You just Yotzi for those specific times, so it wouldn't be sufficient to say Erev and Boker. You need B'shach B'cha V'kumecha. Now, no. B'sham may agree with the timing. They just say, in addition, they say it's. They still say the times are the same times they said before. They just say that U'v'shach B'cha V'kumecha tells you not only the times, which is morning and evening, going to bed, but also the physical posture. So, as far as Beis Hillel could then say back, so what's with the uvelechtecha? Uvelechtecha said the way you go. So Beis Shammai, what are you going to do with that? So Beis Shammai learned that for a totally different drasha altogether. They say uvelechtecha means when you're going on your way, which means when you're doing, to teach you the din of osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. That if you're doing another mitzvah, you're not on your way, you're on Hashem's way, you're doing Hashem's business, you're patur from mitzvahs, including Kriya Shema. So they say, Beis Shammai say, when it says uvelechtecha, and in your going, that's telling you dafka, you're only chayv in Kriya Shema when you're doing your thing. If you're on osik in a mitzvah, you're pater. And Beis Hillel, to tie up all the ends here, say, it could have said uveleches, and when you go, for just posturing. Uvelechtecha tells you both when you're going and also your business. So Beis Hillel will say that Uvelechtecha tells you both things. Both you can korek kedarko, however you feel like sitting, and also that osik b'mitzvah patur min a mitzvah. If you're involved in some other mitzvah, you're patur from kriyashma. We'll actually see examples in the third parak. If you're, I don't know, involved in a kavura, that's an example the Mishnah gives. Be patur from kriyashma altogether if you're really osik in a mitzvah and can't do both. Okay. Now, I'm Reb Tarfon. We have a story here. Reb Tarfon said, "Ani ha'isi baba derech." He says, "You know, one time I was going on the way, v'hitesi likros, and I lay down, like the word yatu. I lay down k'divrei Beis Shammai in the evening. It says time to lie down. So when I was lying down in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the nowhere, to fulfill the words of Beis Shammai." Visakanti ba'atmi, and I endangered myself mipnei halistim. I got, you know, I risked my life because of the bandits out there. And some of Forshim learn that it says halistim, the bandits. He actually was actually on the run. They actually, someone had already attacked him, and he fled for his life. And even so, he lay down. And those of Forshim say he thought, you know, the schus of doing the mitzvah would protect him. Okay. So, but anyways, he wanted to mekan like Beis Shammai. So Amrulo, the Chum said, "Kedai yisalachel ba'atmecha." You know, it would have been your own fault. You know, been on your own cheshbon. If something would have happened to you, if you would have died, it's your own fault. She'avartel divrei Beis Hillel, because you contravene the words of Beis Hillel. We have a general principle that a machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. We say Beis Shammai is eno mishnah. He's not considered. So you shouldn't go like him. And the fact you went to try to be like him, then you had no business doing that, and you wouldn't, and you deserve what you would have gotten. The Rambam who says specific, he was running from particular people, so he says the Rambam learns that they're saying to him you wouldn't have been protected from doing a mitzvah because it wasn't a mitzvah, like a bes was a hitter mitzvah, you know, to try to get an old chumrah. It's called a chumrah. Bes was a chumrah, so for chumrah you won't get protected from doing chumras. Now, it's an important halachic point I have to bring out here, which is normally you're allowed to makayim, you're allowed to do chumras if they don't explicitly contravene normative halacha. In other words, well, he wasn't doing anything wrong. All he was doing was saying Krishna in the way he wanted to say it, which Beis Hillel lets. So big deal is lying down. That's not going against Beis Hillel. That's just trying to shtup in Hillel and Shammai Deila, which we're used to. You know, we're used to trying to get, you know, both, do it in a way that you get both. That's already allowed. We don't have a problem with that. The problem here is that the machlokus team Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai wasn't just a machlokus over, you know, what's the best, the right way, and you get a chumrah. It was actually a machlokus over pshat and a pasuk. They're actually explaining what the words uvashach b'cha in your lying down mean. And that, they weren't prepared to be sovel. It's not just keeping a chumrah, you're actually starting with Beis Shammai and Pshat Nepas, like that you can't do, because Beis Shammai is not allowed to disagree with Beis Hillel l'halacha. So that's why they said, no go, all your fault. Okay? Good, Mishnah Dalet. So now Mishnah Dalet, grab me a sitter if you don't mind. Yeah. Mishnah Dalet now deals with the brachas of Kriya Shema. Okay? So I just want to, for visual aid, I'm going to get the sitter out for you. Coming here. So it says Bishachar in the morning, Mavarach Shtam Lefanah, you make two brachas before it, meaning before Kriyashma. Thank you very much. So for those who, right, here's our graphic assistance here. Right? We've got Ava, one second, you got Yotzer Hamoros, number one, and Ava Rava. Okay? Just note for a second. Well, I'll get the second. So you got one, two before, and V'achas l'acharen, you have Gal Yisrael, one afterwards. There you go. Right? And uva'erev, and in the evening, you have shtayim lefaneh, you got two before. Here they are. Two brachas before. There's a reason why I'm bringing this out. I know you probably know these already. Right? Number one, you have Mariv Aravim, dealing with the day and the night and the sun and so. And the second of all, you have Ava Solam. And afterwards, Ushtan Lacharan, you have two afterwards. In the evening, you have two brachas afterwards. Right? Here they are. Right? Number one, you have. I know they say three, but this thing bring two here. You have this, the long one here, Emes Vamuna. Okay? which ends Gal Yisrael, and then you have second Ol Hashkivenu. Okay? So, now, they didn't have Sidurim back then, so it tells you what's going on over a little more. It says, in reference now, we're talking now about the brachas, this next section here, talking about the brachas before Kriyishma, in the morning and the night. So it says, of those brachas, because remember, there were two before both morning and the evening,
achas aruka, one's an aruch,
a long one, v'achas katzara, and one's a short one. Okay, so both in the morning and the evening, you have a long bracha, an aruch bracha, and a short bracha, a katzar bracha. Now there's a machlokas in the mefarshim what that means. Rashi learns, Pashit, that aruch means it's got a lot of things in it, it's a long one, and katzar means it's short, it's just got one basic topic. Okay, so, right, and that'll apply to both. So, Yotzer Or is the long one, it deals with all sorts of things, and Avarab is a short one, just deals with the topic of choosing the Jewish people. And the evening, Mari Varavim again deals with all the different topics, and again, Avas Olam deals just one topic. That's Rashi. The Rambam learns different. Rambam learns, this is how the Rav brings, that an Aruch, a long bracha, is one that starts with Baruch and ends with Baruch. And a short bracha is one that just ends with Baruch. Right? If you notice, I'll look at just the evening ones here for a second here. So you have... Where is it? First, that's right. Very good. Thank you. So, yeah. So in Mari Varavim, it starts out Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and it ends again Baruch Atah Hashem, Mari Varavim. So that's an Arucha. And Gal Yisrael is just Avas Olam is a short one, just one Baruch. Okay, at the end. So, either way, it says here now, Makum She'amru L'Harich, Makum She'amru L'Harich, in a place, in a bracha, where they, Chazal were Kaveya, the Anche Knesset Gedolah were Kaveya, the bracha should be Aruch, L'Harich, to make it a long one, i.e., according to Rashi, you got to stip it all in, and according to Rambam, a bracha at the beginning, at the end, Ein Rishal L'Katzer, you can't cut that out, either cut out this, the other topics, or cut out one of the barachs. L'Katzer, if they say it has to be short, you can't make it long. So you can't add in more things according to Rashi, and you can't add a bracha at the beginning according to Rambam. Okay? Now, focus, I'm going to ask you a question in a second. So then, second of all, it says lachtom. It says, where it says you have to make a chasima, meaning you have to end the bracha with baruch, you can't leave out that second baruch. Shlo lachtom, and if it says you shouldn't make a second end with a baruch, Ein Rishai Lachtum, you're not allowed to add a chasim and add a bracha then. So there's an obvious question here, which is, according to the Rambam, what's the difference between the first and the second dinim in the Mishnah? Right? Is that a reasonable question? Right? The Rambam said, what makes something aruch is that it's got a chasima, or it's got two baruchs. So what's the difference? Yeah, anyone? That's right. So. Exactly, very good. The Rambam learns that the first part of the Mishnah is saying adding at the beginning, or not adding at the beginning, and the second part is at the end, the two baruchs, the first baruch and the second baruch. Yeah, very good. Okay. Very good. Okay. Mishnah A. So it says now, you know this Mishnah, it's probably one of the best on Mishnahs, the first parak of Brachas, and also in the Pesach Seder. It says, Mazkir Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. You have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim Belelos. That's a din. We'll see in a second the parameters of that din, and it's a few of them. But the third parsha of Kriyishma was added for this reason. Lalacha. In other words, I know I said yesterday that was the Pri Chadash who said that, the Pri Magadim, excuse me, that said that the third part, and the Haredim said the third part is also Doraisa, but leaving them out. The Pashas is that you add the third parsha of Kriyishma to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at night. And La Halacha, by the way, both in the morning and the night, when you say L'ma'an at the end, mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim, you should have in mind to Mekayim the Mitzvah Doraisa of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. Many of you don't put it out, but that's your Mekayim the Mitzvah Doraisa then. So, So Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, "Harei ani kiben shivim shana." He says, "I'm like a man of 70 years old." What does that mean? So, there's a Gemara in Brachas, Tav Chavches, says that when Yavne was first set up, so the head of Yavne was Rabban Gamliel, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai set it up, but as soon as Rabban Gamliel came and took over, he was the Nasi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai disappears, and Rabban Gamliel took over. And Rabban Gamliel was a very firm believer in like a centralized authority for Judaism. He felt it was in the wake of the Chorban Bayis, and he felt that we didn't have a strong, unified, you know, rabbinic central authority, Jewish people are going to collapse. He's the one who stood up against the last Rabbi Eliezer, the last of the people from Beis Shammai, and said, "We're not having Beis Shammai anymore. Just we can't afford it. We only can have one unified set of halacha. We don't want that." That's a famous story in Bav Metzia about putting next communication. But there are three different stories in the Bavli that talk about how Rabban Gamliel basically picked a fight with Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was the biggest of the chachamim there, or the bigger than Rabban Gamliel for sure. And on a number of occasions, basically, Rabban Gamliel sort of embarrassed Yeshua, right? The most famous probably is in Rosh Hashanah, where he made him come on his cheshbon of when Yom Kippur was with a stick in hand, and he gave him a kiss, and he said, "My Rebbe, my Talmud, because he's greater in Chochmah, but he's my son in that you listen to me." Okay, but it happened three times. But the third time was about, it doesn't matter. But the point is that after the third time of basically embarrassing Rabbi Yeshua in public, there was a mutiny in the Beis Midrash, and they kicked him out, they dethroned him, and they said, you're out, you're too harsh, we don't want you, we're replacing you with somebody else. But they didn't know who to replace him with. There was a big question, and they decided that the man to be the replacement was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was 18 years old, or some say 16 years old, you're talking about 18 years old at the time. And he went to ask his wife, "Should I take over as the Nasi?" And his wife said, "No, you can't. You're just a kid. You haven't got any gray hair." So overnight, a miracle happens. As the Bavli, and he went gray overnight. So he looked like an old man. That's the Pashtus. The Rambam, of course, typical Rambam says it was the stress, the job made him go gray. But in any case, he went gray overnight. The Rizal says that why it's Ben Shivim Shana is because he was actually a Gilgul of Shmuel Anavi, died at the age of 52. So 52 plus 18 makes 70. Okay, there you go. So in any case, so he says, I'm like an old man already. Ben Shivim Shana, the Pashas, this has happened right then when he was only at the helm for a very short amount of time before they reconcile things. In any case, Veloza Chisi Shateyami Yetzias Mitzrayim Belelos. Literally, I didn't merit to say Yetzias Mitzrayim Belelos, but the pshat can't be like that, because obviously he had a mesorah, he was saying it. The Rambam learns the pashtus. I didn't have a raya from the psukim that was the din, even though I had a mesorah, that you have to say Yetzias Mitzrayim in the night, midoraisa, ad shedarsha ben zoma, till ben zoma came around and gave me a drasha, then I had one. Shenemar, as it says, laman tizkar es yom teischa me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha, so that you will remember the day you went out of Egypt, all the days of your life. So he darshan, ben zoma darshan, and there's a Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Tes, says ben zoma was the king of the darshanim. When he made a drasha, like no one messed with him. He was authoritative. So he said, this is it. It said, yamei chayecha would have been sufficient to tell you all the days of your life, meaning the days. So the word, extra word, kol yamei chayecha, all the days, that's also be marba the lelos, right? And the chacham reject that drasha, and they say, no, not necessarily. Yamei chayecha could mean the days, just the days normally. That's olam hazeh. That's, you know, in this world, now. And kol yamei chayecha means even lahavi lamos mashiach. Even when Mashiach comes, even though the nisan that will be involved in bringing Mashiach and the final war and so that Hashem saves us from will be much, much, much greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even so, they'll start to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. It won't be forgotten. So they reject his hechrik from the drasha, but the halacha certainly goes like Elazar ben Azariah. The Rav has a difficult pshat. The Rav says that lo zachisi, he translates lo nitzachti. I couldn't convince them. I wasn't victorious. Nitzachon. I wasn't victorious, right? L'chacham, until Ben Zoma came around, which probably how you learned in the past, which is a very difficult pshat, ostensibly because he says, I couldn't convince them until Ben Zoma gave me a drasha. But the problem is, the Mishnah ends, they reject Ben Zoma's drasha. So what kind of nitzachon was that? So you have to say the pashas is, it's a good question actually, but I think that the answer is pashat, that he won because the lach goes like him. That's the answer. Even though he didn't convince them with the strength of the drasha, but he won out. And the halach is, of course, we paskin, that we do say Yetzias Mitzrayim Belelos, that's still a mitzvah d'oraisa. even though the rest, the parsha itself is midrabanan to say it, but the actual, that one line is a doraisa. Yeah? Okay, very good. We'll do...